North Hampton Colo. She given on Sunday, 25th of December 2011. Kaftes Kislev, Toshin Ein Base. She given by Gershon Heppner on Tehillim, and we're up to chapter Yudches, and we're up to Pasuk Yudches. Yudches. Yatzilini me ovi oz. He will save me from my strong enemy, umisonai, and from those who hate me, kiom sumimeni, because they are stronger than I am. So David HaMelech expressing either a tefillah or maybe a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him from his strong enemies. Let's just do a couple more psukim as well, because we're going to be referring to the next few psukim as well. Yekabuni biyom edi. They get to me quickly, or they get to me first. That means my enemies get to me quickly. Biyom Edi, on the day of my punishment. Vayhi Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mishon me, he's a support for me. So my enemies come to attack me, and they attack me quickly, and then they get to me early, get at me first, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports me. Vayetzini lamerchov, and he brings me out to a wide expanse, i.e. salvation. Yechaltzini, he pulls me out, or he rescues me. Kichofeks me, because he delights in me, or he likes me. Yigmeleni Hashem, kesidki Hashem, should pay me back according to my righteousness. Kever yodai, according to the purity of my hands. Yoshivli, he should repay me. Tilim chat Yudches Pasi Yudches, Yatzilini mi Ovioz, Hashem shall save me from my strong enemy, umisona I, and from my hated ones, ki, or from those who hate me rather, ki amsumimini, because they're stronger than I am, yekadmuni biyom edi, my enemies, they get to me early, biyom edi, on the day of my punishment, vayhi Hashem lemishami, but Hashem is the support for me, vayetzieni lamerchov, he brings me out to wide expanse, salvation, yechaltzini, he rescues me, ki chofetz me, because he likes me, or because he delights in me. Yikbalini Hashem kesidki, Hashem should repay me according to my righteousness. Kever yotai, according to the purity of my hands. Yoshivli, he should repay me.
Why do you translate lamechav as salvation?
Merchav really means a wide expanse. It means I'm brought out from my constraints of being under pressure from my enemies. I'm brought out to being saved, and it's the word is lamerchav. It comes from the word rochav, which means wide, but it really means that's salvation. It's the physical form of salvation.
Is it used elsewhere? Salvation.
No, that's not the same. That's with a vav, not with a vase. Liravocha, yeah.
I'm just wondering what the precise connection was between the word merchav and salvation, which are two different.
They are two different things. It's a poetical form. It means that I'm brought out into a wide open area from where I can escape, or something like that. That's, I think, that's the idea. That'd be Resh Chof Veis. This is Resh Ches Veis. Okay, good. Okay, so come back to Pasuk Yudches. Yatzilini mi Ovioz, Hashem saves me from my strong enemy, umisona I, and from those who hate me, ki amsumimeni, because when they are stronger than I am. The many mefarshim latch onto the fact that the word mei ovi means from my enemy in the singular, while umisona I means and from those people, plural, who hate me. Umisona I would be from the one person who hates me. Umisona I is from the several people who hate me. So mei ovi is in the singular, and umisona I is in the plural. So many mefarshim speak about that, and we'll come on to them. But and based on that, it's a bit of an eye opener. If you've got the copy of the Targum there, you'll see in the Targum. I haven't got the Targum. I read out the Targum. Shezvani min sona I. He saves me from min sona I is a plural, from the people who hate me. That's a plural. Min sona I, not min sona I, which would be a singular, like me, or your V is a singular, but it's min sona I, from those who hate me, is a plural.
That we see the difficulty. Because when the enemy comes towards you, they are one unit, they're one army. Okay? People hate that they're individuals.
Yeah, it's a good answer. Could well be. I didn't find an answer to this Targum, so could well be.
From the enemy, in the singular.
It's one of these words we use in the singular because they're a unified force. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's a good answer. Nice answer. Yeah. Oh. Good. So that would justify why the Targum can put it in the plural, even though the Pasuk actually has it in the singular.
Maybe, yeah.
Good. So the Stavid explains this word ki, umisena I, and from those who hate me, ki omsimimini. How do you translate the word ki? Well, the ki is mashamish ba'aba l'shenes, as Moshe says at the end of Gittin and a few other places, that the word ki has got four different translations. The Mitzvah David here explains the word ki, translates it as ka'asher, when. That he should save me from those who hate me, when, ki, when, omsimimini, when they overpower me, or when they are stronger than I am. So that's how the Mitzvah David translates the word ki. The Radak explains this word, may ovi, my enemy. Which enemy are we talking about? So the Radak latches onto one of two possibilities, and he says possibly it refers to Goliath, whom David killed in Shmuel Aleph chapter Yud Zayin. Goliath, that's the arch enemy of David. Or he latches onto another possibility. Who's this me ovi in the singular? It's Yishbi the Nov. Yishbi, who came from Nov. Yishbi, who came as a result of Nov. Who is this Yishbi? Well, he's recorded in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Yishbi the Nov was a brother of Goliath. Goliath was one of four brothers, all of whom were giants. And Yishbi, one who of course was like Goliath, was one of the Plishtim. Yishbi took it into his own, had it in his own mind that he wanted to kill David. What was the story behind that? Well, the Mefarshim say that he came as a direct result of Shaul having wiped out the city of Nov, the city of Karnim. Shaul wiped them out, and almost like as a warning shot against Shaul, against Klal Yisrael, having done such a terrible, terrible deed of wiping out the city of Karnim, for having protected David, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent another enemy out to attack. And he sent Yishbi the Nov, and so he's called Yishbi the Nov because he came on the back of the story of Nov Ir HaKarnim, even though he didn't actually come from that area. So the Pasuk's record, let's actually have a look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, yeah, Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Aleph, and then Pasukim Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin. So the Pasuk there says, V'yishbi v'nov asher b'lidei Harofa. He was one of the children of Harofa, and we'll see who that is. Mishkal Kano Shlishmeis Mishkal Nechoshes. He was very heavily armed. V'hu chogur chadosha. That's the phrase I was looking for. V'hu chogur chadosha. He was girded in something new. So Rashi explains, what was the story? He had a new suit of armor. Once he had his new suit of armor, it seems to be in the tradition that on the day you got your new suit of armor, instead of making a shechianu, you went out and killed someone impressive. As a way of inaugurating your suit of armor, you went out and killed someone. So here's Yishbi Benov. He's one of the children of Harotha. He's got his new suit of armor. So he says, right, okay, now whom shall I kill today? I know, I'll kill David. And off he went to try and kill David. David was rescued. The Pesukim record there. He was rescued by his nephew, Avishai ben Tzruya. How did Avishai ben Tzruya save David? He rescued him through tefillah. He davened. I think the Midrash would say that he used one of the shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to raise David off the ground. So as Yishbi Venov lunged at David, David shot up in the air. Something along those lines. At any rate, Avishai ben Tzruya saved David's life through tefillah. This is this other enemy, and the Radak considers that now possibly Yatzil enemy Ovi Oz from the one strong enemy, singular, which enemy? So the Radak considers the possibility of Yishbi the Nov. Just to come on to what you were saying, Uncle Louis, that Yishbi was the son of Harofa. Who is this Harofa? She is none other than Orpah. And that throws another interesting thing here, because according to the Medrash, Orpah and Rus, from Megillas Rus, Orpah, yeah, Rus and Orpah were sisters. Okay, they were sisters. They were the son. They were the daughters of Eglon, the Moabite king, and they were his two daughters, Rus and Orpah. Well, if Rus had
sisters-in-law.
and sisters, and they married two brothers. Exactly, Machlon and Kilion. Yeah, so therefore they were sisters and sisters, or two brothers marrying two sisters. Yeah, absolutely. So, based on this, we have the two sisters, Rus and Orpah. Rus has a son called Oved, who has a son called Yishai, who has a son called David. Orpah has four sons, one of whom, by the way, is Goliath, the other of whom is this Yishbi Venov. So it turns out, I've worked it out, so it's not complicated to work out, that David was Mishpacha to Goliath, and had the same Mishpachology with Goliath's brother, Yishbi Venov. They were first cousins twice removed. Okay?
Philistine.
Yes.
But here we get him, he comes from Moab.
Yeah.
Was he higher to them?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Orpah, who came from the daughter, who was the daughter of Eglon, maybe she married someone, maybe she married a Plishti and had the son Goliath. Yeah, so maybe that's the connection with Plishti.
Twice moved upwards, rather than down.
Yeah,
which is unusual. Yeah. It's normally the lower generation.
Yeah. Okay. David is on the lower generation, yes? Because David is four generations removed from Rus. Rus is his great grandmother, and he killed Goliath, the son of Orpah. So he's one generation removed from Orpah. He runs from the family tree.
Orpah had a long life. So you know, how old was she when she turned away from her mother?
Yeah.
No.
Mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Normie. Normie, yeah. I don't know.
So, but she couldn't have been like a teenager. That's the impression you get. She wasn't a teenager at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what, 100? How many years later is this? It must be many years later.
Well, hang on. Well, Rus did get to see David as well.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Oh. Yes. Rus got to see David. I think is that Rashi at the end of Megillas Rus. I can't remember. I think so. Oh, no, it's the possible thing. Possible is Macruish that she saw David. How great that's.
Is there any bigger reason for the fact that Goliath and David came from the same family, apart from the fact that Orpah was the ancestor of Goliath and she turned away from them?
There is. There must be. Orpah, I think the main answer is that I don't know. But there must be. Mm-hmm. But the Mefarshim say that Orpah was rewarded by having four giants as children. Goliath and Yishbi were just two of them. The others are also named there in Shmuel Beis. Yes, chapter Kaf Aleph. But Orpah was rewarded. Why was she rewarded? I think she was rewarded, I can't remember now, either because she took four steps along with Rus, or possibly because she shed four tears on departing from Rus. And I just can't remember which one it is. So she was rewarded with four sons who were all giants. And Goliath and Yishbi, of course, all took pot shots at David and lost. So, ask my mother. Right, the Elkem Emloes also goes on to discuss who are these enemies mentioned. Don't forget we've got me Oyavi in the singular, my enemy in the singular, or Misona I is in the plural, those people who hate me. So the Elkem Emloes says that me Oyavi Oz is a reference to Shaul. My one strong enemy is Shaul, or Misona I, and those who hate me are all the rest of David's enemies. He wasn't short of enemies. That's one pshat. The Elkem Emloes gives a second pshat, that may Oyavi, my enemy, is a reference to the seven nations who are living in Eretz Yisrael. Emori, Chivi, Chiti, Kanani, Perizi, Girgashi, and Yavusi. Those seven nations were the resident nations of Canaan, so they represented one unified enemy. It's like using your answer. Yeah, one unified enemy, the seven nations, while the Umisona I, those who hate me, are the 31 kings recorded in Yehoshua chapter Lamed Aleph, the 31 kings whom Yehoshua had to, whom Yehoshua fought off. 31 kings, a list of 31 names of kings, which I went, oh, here they are. Yeah, all right.
That's written like Haman's sons.
Yeah, it is, yeah. The kings of Yericho, Ha'ai, Yerushalayim, Chevron, Yarmus, Lachish, Eglon, Gezer, Devir, Gezer, Chomor, Arad, Livna, Adulam, Makedah, Beisel, Tavuah, Chefer, Afek, Lasharon, Modern, Chotzer, Shimron, Meron, Achshav, Ta'anach, Megiddo, Kedesh, Yoknaom, Dur, Lenophas, Dur, places, I think, Goyim, Megilgol, Tiritzah, yeah, 31 of them. So there's the 31 kings all listed in, they're all in Yeshua chapter at base, and Yeshua fought them all off. And those are the 30, and those are referred to by the word Misona
I. What is the connection between those kings and David?
And David. Oh, so the answer, I was wondering that as well, and I think the answer might be because David had, David's major, one of his major life works was to settle Eretz Yisrael in safety. Mm. So it's true that Yeshua fought them. Maybe David still had to fight remnants of them or upstarts, guerrilla groups still loyal to any of those different kings. Possibly.
Yeah. Are you saying that after this, all the kings were wiped out after this?
These were all little kingdoms within Eretz Canaan, within Eretz Israel. Yeah, and Yeshua fought them initially.
I thought that after these battles. Like there were still lots of pockets left.
There were, yeah, there
were. So these were the only kings that were defeated. There were still many kings.
There were still other ones
many
left.
Kings undefeated.
Seems like it, yeah, or other groups, certainly other groups, yeah, left. Yeah. Okay. And other Peshatim brought in the Alchemy Memories is that Misoni refers to Doeg. Doeg Ha, Domi. Who of course reported Nov Ir HaKonin to Shaul, whereupon Shaul wiped them all out. And Doeg, one of these arch enemies of David, one of the things that the Yalkamim Nois brings is why is Doeg referred to as Oz, the strong one? He says it comes from an expression of to be me is ponov, that means to be very cheeky and chutzpedik. And he says a medrash which I couldn't track down. And even Google couldn't find this medrash, and that is a medrash which says that Doeg turned to David and complained to David that he was building the plans for the Beis Hamikdash in the wrong place. And he says that he said to David, "Why are you building it halfway up the mountain?" I think presumably Doeg felt it should be at the top of the mountain. I'm very confused by this. I don't really understand this medrash, but it seems that David didn't choose the top of Har HaBayis for the Beis HaMikdash, but a bit halfway down. You can't compare it to what we have today because as we learnt from our tour guide,
Aviflax,
let's give him a nice advert. Aviflax, the son-in-law of Reb Tzvi Baxt. Aviflax in Sassol, who gave us a fabulous tour guide, what a brilliant tour guide he was. And he pointed out how Har HaBayis is not today what it was then, and it was flattened. There was a valley, that's right, there was a valley. And that's it, a huge amount of earth were raised for it.
It was like a small mountain before.
Yeah.
The valley has been filled in.
Over centuries.
There were bridges right across. I mean, it was black and nothing. It was small.
Did you actually go up the ramp though onto the Temple Mount?
No. No, it's also for us to go up because we're to Mimi, so you can't go up. No. Even if the Arabs would give permission, they I don't get that. I don't know. No. You can't go up. It's my mace. Yeah? So you can't go up.
Actually, on the building between the shoulders, because between the shoulders...
That's it. It's actually in Pashas Aichim. In Yomim, yeah. Ben Kasefal. Ben Kasefal Shochein. Yeah, come on. It was built between two... Oh, and a dip in the mountain. Thank you. So that's what it must be. I didn't think of that. So this is what Doeg was complaining about. Why is it there in the lower part? So Doeg was complaining, why is it there? He should build it at the top of the mountain. That's one thing. And the second, and Misonai Kiyam Tsumimeni, the Alchemy Memories goes on to say, who are these Misonai Kiyam Tsumimeni? The strong ones, those who hate me are stronger than I am. That's Achisophel, in particular Achisophel.
He was a
great-grandfather, I think, of Bathsheba.
Yeah, she was offended by
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And great-grandfather, maybe grandfather of Bathsheba. Yeah. But why would David refer to Achisophel as Kiyom Tzumimeni? Because Achisophel was greater in Torah learning than David was. There's a big mystery why, how on earth he could turn so bad.
Learned two things from
and he called him Rabbi Alufi Amir. I learned two things. Shnei Devarim. You know what the two things were? I heard this news ago from Rabbi Kuba Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the two things that Achisophel taught David were A, to run to shul, and B, to learn with a chavrusa. And while we're on this, I once asked Rabbi Kuba a kasha on that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. Well, do you remember this? Have I told this? Yaakov Hanscott remembers everything. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that Pirkei Avos Pek Vav Mishnah Gimel. Halamin mechaveri perk echad or aloch echos or pasuk echad or dibur echad or afilu os echos tzorech linog ben kovod shekim asinu b'david melech yisrael. You've got to give kovod to anyone who teaches you anything, even one something very small as just one letter. Why? Because David shelolam an me'achisofel ela shnei dvarim b'vod. David only learned two things from Achisofel, and nevertheless the koroi called him alufa miyudoi shenema v'ato anosh ke'erki alufa yomiyudoi. He called him which is a pasuk in Tehillim 55 Nun Hey Pasuk Yodalis. Yeah, he called him my master, my teacher, my the one who informed me. So the Mishnah says, even if you only learn one letter from someone, you have to give kavod. Why? Because we learn it from David. Achisophel taught David. Achisophel only taught David two things. And yet David gave him such respect. David only learned two things from Achisophel, and nevertheless, David still gave him this tremendous respect. Therefore, you have to give cover to someone, even if he only teaches you even just one thing. So ask Rabbi Kuper, I remember I was a child when I asked Rabbi Kuper a really simple kasha, and that is, what kind of kavachomer is this? If David learnt two things from Achisophel, then the kavachomer can only teach us that if someone teaches you two things, you have to give them covered. But the Mishnah says, even if he teaches you dover echod or afilu usechos, even if he teaches you one letter, you have to give them covered. You have to give a person covered. But the kavachomer won't stretch that far. The kavachomer will only stretch as far as two things, because that's all that David learnt from Achisophel, was just two things. So how can we learn a kavachomer that even if you only learn one letter, you have to give covered to a person? So the kavachomer doesn't really stand up to the scrutiny of a kavachomer. So Rabbi Kuba said to me that the point being that Achisophel was such a rasha. He told me this answer in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that Achisophel was such a rasha. That it was terrible Russia. He rebelled. He joined Avshalom against David. So therefore, he was the brains behind Achisophel's behind Avshalom's army. So Achisophel was such a Russia, Tam Chacham, who became a Russia. Therefore, his Torah had no nitzchius, had no eternity. It had no. Rabbi Kuba called it something like growth potential. All Torah has growth potential. You learn something, it has growth potential. In Shemayim, it's worth much more than you think it is. Whereas Achisophel, being such a terrible Rasha, his Torah has zero growth potential. And therefore, even though he taught David two things, to run to shul and to learn with Chavrissa, nevertheless, those two things had zero growth potential, and nevertheless, David gave him tremendous covered. And his two things that he taught David had less growth potential than the os echos that one other person might learn from someone. So therefore, even if you only learn one os echos from someone, you have to give him covered, kavachomer from David, who gave covered to Achisophel, despite the fact that the Torah that Achisophel taught had no growth potential, had no real nitzchius.
It's kind of interesting. What happened to Achisophel after the Avshalom rebellion?
Achisophel committed suicide at the age of 35. He hanged himself. The prophet says Vayechonak, which literally means he was strangled, but it's a reflexive nifal, and he hanged himself. Pardon?
Is it
It is a mithal. It's a mithal, but it's a mithal with reflexive meaning. He killed himself. He hanged himself.
This is recorded immediately after the rebellion.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. It's in the story of Avshalom's rebellion. Yeah, yeah. You learnt Avshalom? You learnt the Maaseh? Ah, okay. Yeah. Good. He says he went home and he instructed his children. That means he was basically wrote his last will and testament, and then he killed himself. Yeah. Yeah, not a happy story. Okay. Other pshatim given by the Alchemy Amnois on this may ovi, who's this one enemy and who are the plural sonai, who are these plural those who hate me. So he says the may ovi is Avshalom. Why Avshalom? Again, from the Lashon of Oz, may is ponim. Avshalom rebelled against his own father. Well, what greater chutzpah can there possibly be? So he was an oz ponim to rebel against David. And who's this Misonai? Those who hate me in the plural. So he says, those are all of Avshalom's army, which is most of Klal Yisrael joined Avshalom against David.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Major rebellion. It's a terrible, terrible story. Yeah. So, and therefore, that's a Misonai, those who hate me in the plural, because Avshalom had most of Klal Yisrael on his side. Good. Right. Shmuel was no. Shmuel had died. Yeah.
So who was the
Navi
at the time?
Nosson.
Nosson, yeah.
Nosson?
Yeah, Nosson Hanavi, probably, yeah.
So did Nosson try to convince Bnei Yisrael to not rebel?
I don't think so. I don't think so, but David had David had a man called Hushai Ha'arki, who is an inside man, who was spying for David. He double-crossed Avshalom. He pretended to be on Avshalom's side, and instead he double-crossed Avshalom because he was really on David's side, and he managed. Achisophel gave excellent, clever military advice to Avshalom, which, in the normal circumstances, Avshalom would have followed, but Avshalom did not follow it, because he was dissuaded from following it by a man called Hushai Ha'arki, who pretended to be on Avshalom's side, but he was really on David's side. David also had two spies, Achimaaz and Yehonasan, who were spying on Avshalom and were able to get the information back to David as to what Avshalom was up to. The Pirush of the Mossad Rav Kook explains that who's this May Ovi Oz? He says it's a reference back to Pasuk Dalet in our chapter, where the Pasuk says, Muhun Alekra Hashem, Umin Oyevai Ivoshea, I will be saved from my enemies. And our Pasuk, Yatsilin May Ovi Oz, simply harks back to that Pasuk, referring to the enemy recorded there in Pasuk Dalet. What about this word me oivi with the extra yud? So the Mossad Rav Kook explains to me, oivi doesn't necessarily mean from my enemy. And he points out that a number of times in Tanakh we have an extra yud, almost like a poetical yud, particularly in poetical psukim, where you get an extra yud. And he quotes a number of psukim. For example, in Vizos HaBracha, Devarim chapter Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Des Zayin, where the Pasuk says, Umimeged eretz umloah, or its own shochni sameh, and from the wish of the shochni, which is a poetical form of shochain, the one who dwells in the bush, i.e., Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who first appeared to Moshe in the burning bush, or its own shochni sameh. So that word shochni is a poetical form of shochain. Likewise, you have, we said it this morning in Hallel, hamashpili liris bashamayim v'aretz, hamashpili. Really is a poetical form of Hamashpil, who lowers himself, Liros Bashamayim V'aretz. That's in Tehillim chapter Kufyud Gimel, Pasuk Vav. And so we sometimes see an extra yud for poetical forms here. So likewise here, Yatsileni me oyevi oz, says the Mossad Rav Kook, doesn't necessarily mean save me from my strong enemy. It could be save me from a strong enemy, and it's just an extended form, poetical form of the word me oyev. That's how he learns. Oh,
so now what's the meaning of that?
Save me from a strong enemy, not necessarily my strong enemy, but from a strong enemy. It's just a poetical form of the word oyev. No, I think that the essential meaning stays the same. Really, my enemy, an enemy, comes to much the same thing. Really, but he's just explaining the word me oyev, that yud might not mean my enemy.
So
Just getting out of the analysis of the word.
It's not an allusion to the name of Hashem. I mean, yud is sometimes an allusion to Hashem.
I haven't seen that anywhere. I haven't seen those references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, no. No, it wouldn't make sense really to put a yud for referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an enemy. Yeah. Oh. Now, a sefer called Shari HaYoshar. Where did we find it? Was that in Stamford Hill? Yeah. Oh, we went to a seminary, Yaakov Haim and I. Yaakov Haim's back. And Gateshead helps me this year. The Yaakov Haim and I went to a second-hand forum sale in Stamford Hill. When was it? Sukkot time. After Sukkot, I think. Yeah. And we found a few Svarim there. Yaakov Haim found most of them, I think. Svarim on Tehillim, and we snapped most of them up. So the typical Shari HaYoshar, or Shari HaYosher probably, written by Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Friedlander, who was the Av Beis Din of a place called Liska. He was killed in Auschwitz, and the sefer was first printed in Budapest in 1934. And it's the sefer that we bought was a reprint, reprinted by his grandson, I think he's in America now. And he says, and he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara is in Sukkah. Listen to this Gemara, beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amid Aleph. Omer Abaya, Uve Talmid Chachamim Yosef Mikulam, talking about the Yetzer Hara person. Uve Talmid Chachamim Yosef Mikulam, the Yetzer Hara attacks Talmid Chachamim more than anyone else. And it brings a story about Abaya himself. Ki Hoda Abaya, story about Abaya, Shamei, he once heard, Lahu Gavra, he once heard a man, he heard a man saying to a woman, Nakdim, let's get up early tomorrow morning, V'nizil b'urcha, and let's go on the way together. They would be travelling together. So he once heard a man say to a woman who was not his wife, let's get up early, probably staying in some kind of a hotel or something like that, let's get up early tomorrow morning, and we're both going in the same direction, let's go together. Omar, so Abaya thought to himself, this is a terrible thing. So, you know, a husband, a man and a woman, they're not husband and wife, and they're going off on a journey together. Ezil, I will go, Afrishinu me Isura. I'm going to make sure that no Isura takes place. I'll keep them well away from any Averis. What happened? Ozal Basrai, who, he went after them, to Losar Parasa for a distance of 3 parasa, Bo'agmo in a meadow. 3 parasa, I worked it out, is approximately 2.5 miles. So he went for some distance behind them, following behind them, in order to make sure that no Averis would take place. Ki havo, No, he followed them for that distance. For a distance of 2.5 miles. He wasn't 2.5 miles behind them, he just followed them for that distance, yeah. Ki havo parashe mehadoti, when they parted from each other, Shaminhu, he heard to Ka'amri that they said as follows. They said, Orechin Rechika, it's a long way to get to our destinations, but Samson Besimo, but the company's been really good. In other words, what was going on there was no Averis had taken place at all, and no Averis were going to take place. These are two people, they were going to different destinations, but the first part of their journey was the same. So they said, look, we'll both go together for the first part of the journey, and then we'll split up. And that's exactly what they did. And Abaya witnessed they parted from each other, they had very nice company together, and that's it, and now we go our separate ways. But nothing untoward had taken place. Okay, all right, that's a kasha. I don't know an answer for that.
Unusual, a woman go by herself.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Your uncle Luigi said that maybe the man was just accompanying the woman to protect her.
But then she went by herself.
After that, she went by herself. Okay, yeah. Oh, but okay. So these are good kashas on the story. I don't know those. I don't know the answer to that. But here's the punchline. I'm Rabbi Iman Desanili Hava. If it were my enemy journeying with that lady, and when he says my enemy, he's referring to the Yetzer Hara within himself. In other words, if I would have accompanied that lady, lo have a motzi l'ukme nafshe, I wouldn't have been, that man, i.e. himself, would not have been able to control himself. Yeah. If I would have been the one going with that lady, I wouldn't have been able to withstand the nisoyen of being in her company alone from anyone else. So, and now that, he was very depressed by that thought. Ozal, he then went, Tala Nashe bi Ibura Dadosha, he then leaned on a door bolt. He went up to a door, and he was leaning on the door. the significance of that is probably he felt exhausted from the thought and the worry, and the he was plagued, he was almost like depressed that he would have fallen foul of that Nisoyan while this other man didn't. Yeah?
In a form of Devakus.
Pardon?
If it was a great man like this, he put it in the form of Devakus. He was concentrating like this. You find this often in the Hasidic writings that the river won't go on the vapors and walk into it once he scolded himself.
Oh, so that's probably what he was doing, leaning on the door, yeah, like that?
Go in the vapors, in that tree.
Okay, it could be.
Vapors is concentration on himself and what's going on.
Yeah.
But we're trying to find the meaning of what's happening here.
Okay.
Oh, Umitz Ta'er. So he was very troubled. Abai was very, very upset about the whole situation when he realized that he wouldn't have passed the test. Osahahu Sabah, that elderly man, an elderly man came to him, and the article footnotes said that, according to some, it's a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, came to Abaya, Tanalei, and taught Abaya the following thought. Kol ha-gadol me-chaveru, yitzer gadol hemenu. Whoever is greater than someone else, he's got a bigger yitzhara. So this Eliyahu HaNavi, if it was Eliyahu HaNavi, this elderly man told about, you're a greater man. Because you're a greater man, you're a bigger man in Torah, and therefore you've got a bigger yitzhara. Finished. So don't be upset about it. This other man, he didn't have the yitzhara. He's not as great as you. He didn't have the yitzhara. You would have had the yitzhara because you're greater. But that's all it is. Kol ha-gadol me-chaveru, yitzer gadol hemenu. Oh, so then, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Friedland in his Sefer Shari HaYosha, he explains, it says simple moshul. Why is it that the greater a person is, the bigger his yetzirah? Simple. He says, because if it gives a muscle, if you're going out to fight a war, if you're going to fight a war, you need more manpower to fight against a bigger enemy. If your enemy's bigger, you need to have a bigger and stronger army too.
If you are stronger, if you're able to overcome your yetzirah, you are stronger.
Oh, but then the yetzirah has a job to do, and his job is to try his best to trip you up.
You're a more formidable opponent to the yetzirah. So the HRR has to be stronger.
Yeah.
The stronger the HRR in a person is, if the person overcomes that very strong HRR, he is a very strong person himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Spiritually.
Okay, but it doesn't detract from the fact that the HRR has got a bigger battle. So it has to be a stronger HRR.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Oh, so that's it. The Yetzirah is waging a war against you. The greater you are, the bigger he needs to be to stand a chance.
Oh. Why do you need such a complicated explanation? Can't we just see this the verse here in Tehillim as referring to the Yetzirah, Oy vi Oz, and David, because he was such a great king, he obviously had such a great Yetzirah to overcome.
Yeah, exactly. You're saying exactly what is in this sefer. Exactly his thoughts. He says, Yatzileinu mi'ovi oz, and in fact many svarim bring that it's a reference to the Yetzirah. We'll see a few others as well. Yatzileinu mi'ovi oz, save me from my strong enemy, the Yetzirah. Umisonai, and from my enemy, and those who hate me, is another reference to the Yetzirah and his henchmen. Why? Ki omtsu, because they are strong. Now, says the Sefer Shai Yosha, what makes the Yetzirah stronger Yetzirah? I make my Yetzirah stronger by being a greater person. The greater you are, the bigger your Yetzirah is. So ki omtsu, my Yetzirah is strong. Why is it strong? Mimeni, because of me. The Yetzirah is strong, and from where does the Yetzirah get its strength? Mimeni, because I'm strong. The stronger I am, the stronger my Yetzirah is. Yeah? So that's exactly, so you machan that, Stephen, what you're saying about me, Ovi, being the Yetzirah, is exactly how I explained it. Oh, Shkoyach. Good. Oh. Whew. Page 4 in the notes.
The Yetzirah was even more powerful than
I was. Oh, so he learns. So in this Sefer Shai Yosha, he explains ki omtsu. He divides into two phrases. Umisonai, from my those who hate me, the Yetzirah. Ki omtsu, because they are stronger, or because they are strong.
Strong.
Comma. How do they get their strength? Mimeni, because of me. So they derive, the Yetzirah gets its strength based on my own personal madriga.
Because the conventional translation is that they hated me, and they were too mighty for me.
Too mighty for me, absolutely. That is simple pshat, absolutely. That is the simple pshat. But in the Sefer Shari HaYosha, he's giving a whole different pshat on that pasuk. Ki onsu, they derive their strength mimeni from me. Yeah. Oh, good. Venishchai. We bought this one in that shop next to the coastal, remember? Yeah. Venishchai on Tehillim. A new purchase this summer. Venishchai on Tehillim says as follows: Who is the enemy here? The Oyev is again. He learns it's the Yetzirah. Who are the Sonai? Those who hate me. He says those are the Kochos of the Yetzirah. And he says as follows. He joins it up with the next pasuk. Yekadmuni biyomedi. They come to me early, biyomedi, on the day of my punishment. What does that mean, that comes to me early? He says, the Yetzirah comes to me early. What does that mean, the Yetzirah comes to me early? So he quotes the pasuk, it's in Parshas Noach, chapter Ches, pasuk Kaf Aleph, where the pasuk says, No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki Yetzer Lev HaOdom Ra Min Urav. The Yetzirah of a person, or the nature of a person, is evil, minu urav, from his youth. That's in Pasuk, it's in Parshas Noach, chapter Ches, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. And Rashi there points out how the word minu urav is not spelt with a vav, and the word, and therefore is to be understood. Let me find this here. Minu urav kesiv. Mishenin ar lotseis mime'e imo. From the moment that a person moves, mishenin'ar is an expression, from the moment the person moves to go out mime'imo from his mother's womb, nosambo yetzirah, or maybe it should be nitambo yetzirah, the yetzirah is placed within him, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him the yetzirah. We get our yetzirah at birth. The Yetzer is given to us at birth. The Yetzer Tov comes to us later only at Bar Mitzvah age. So we go, so we have a 13-year fight with a Yetzer Hara without a single Yetzer Tov within us. It's only when we come Bar Mitzvah age that we are given a Yetzer Tov. So he says, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Yatzilid mi'oviyaz u'misonaki yamsimimeni is all a reference to the Yetzirah. Yekadmuni, they got there first. The Yetzirah got there first. The Yetzirah got there the moment I was born. Yekadmuni, early b'yom eidzi, on the day I was punished. I'm punished, but it means, which means on the day of a calamity. Thank you. Because we get our Yetzirah at the time of birth, but Vayhi Hashem Mishani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the support for me. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the support for me? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, it's Lamed Amud Beis, Il Mole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Lo Yachalo. If a person wouldn't have Hashem's help in fighting the Yetzirah, there's no way a person would cope. The Yetzirah is just such a powerful force. We actually require HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help to battle against the Yetzirah. So he says, that's pshat. But yekadmuni v'yamidi, that the Yetzirah came to me early, at the time of birth, v'yi Hashem l'mishali, that Hashem is a support for me. And then he goes on, then he's got a whole section here about why it is, why do we get our Yetzirah hara before we get our Yetzirah tov? Because it says simply to make the battle worth fighting. We've got a tougher battle on our hands because we're more used to our Yetzirah hara than we are to our Yetzirah tov. And that, with a bigger battle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopes we'll win the battle against our Yetzirah, and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu we'll be able to reward us all the more.
And also, the child in the womb, when the child comes out from the womb, at the time of birth, he actually has all the knowledge of Torah in that child. But the moment he's born, an angel removes that knowledge, and he gets the Yetzirah.
Yes, that's a Gemara. It's in Nidah. I think it's in the second parak of Nidah. I think it's about Daf Yud Dalad, I think. Around there, yeah. The Habu Malach puts his hand, the finger on, and we forget our Torah learning. That's it. Yeah, and it's also to give us a challenge to learn Torah, because it's much more fun to learn something new than to revise something old. So with the knowledge that we've learned it all before, and therefore all the Torah learning we're doing is all Chazorah, it makes it a little bit less exciting. So it's less exciting.
On the other hand, you could say that because you're learning Torah for the second time, really, what you're doing is something that you have anyway intuitively in your soul.
Oh, so, it should make it a bit easier.
Yeah, we respond to it better. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay.